Stonybrook University. The number you have dialed is not in service. If you dialed a 444 number, please call 689-8333 for information. If you dialed a 632 number, please call 689-6000 for information. Thank you.
Sorry, your international call cannot be completed as dialed. Please check the number and dial again. 2EN.
We're sorry. The location you have dialed is not available for service.
We represent the average American who drinks milk and eats meat, benefits from medical research, wears leather, wears wool, wears fur, who hunts and fishes, who owns a pet, and who goes to zoos. A petition to the Congress of these here United States, whereas animal rights activists openly proclaim that intimidation, arson, property destruction, burglary, and theft are acceptable crimes when they are used as forms of civil protest to promote the interest of animals over people. And whereas animal rights terrorists have claimed responsibility for more than $10 million in damages to medical research laboratories in the United States, and animal advocates prompt the mistaken belief that alternative methods of research exist which will eliminate the need for research on animals. And whereas businesses using animals for food, research, entertainment, and clothing are being harassed, their goods are being destroyed, their stores are being vandalized and bombed by pro-animal protesters trying to close down their industries, and their customers are being intimidated. And whereas persons claiming that animals are equivalent to human beings are committed to abolishing the use of animals in science, the total elimination of sport hunting and trapping, the total dissolution of any commercial use of animals, and the elimination of the millions of jobs associated with these activities. Now, therefore, it be resolved that the signers, as citizens of the United States, do hereby petition the Congress of the United States as follows. To oppose those who would put millions of Americans out of work by closing any business or industry that entails the use of animals, and to enact legislation which will combat intimidation, terrorism, and violence as used by animal activists and protesters, and to continue funding medical research and other testing which uses animals responsibly, and generally to resolve legislative conflicts between the interests of human beings and those of families. Animals, not families. In favor of human beings. As further evidence of our determination to protect historic American commitments to tolerance, diversity of opinion, and freedom of expression, we have become members of Putting People First. And while you may have heard about animal rights activists, those people that go around throwing blood on other people that wear furs and other such things, you may not have heard of the opposition, Putting People First. Maybe they throw blood on animals? We don't know. But they say that a very vocal minority of animal rights extremists want to change the very basis on which our country was founded. They tell us what we can eat and wear, that we can't have pets, that we must stop all medical research with animals, and even that we must accept rats and cockroaches as our equals. Imagine that. If you're like most people, I'm sure you're thinking, they're just kooks. And if we ignore them, they'll go away. I used to think that. Medical researchers and furriers used to think that. Even cattle and poultry ranchers used to think that. But all of us have come to a rude awakening. They're not going to go away. In fact, many of us assumed that everyone would recognize these extremists for what they are and not listen to their rhetoric. We never responded to the animal zealots' false charges of animal abuse and general wrongdoing, and because we didn't respond, naive people began to question whether some of the charges might not be true. Add to that, one of the slickest PR campaigns ever, using cute, cuddly animals to depict victims of so-called sadistic medical researchers, printing photographs that are doctored, staged, or decades old, and quoting statistics made up of whole cloth. Then the stage was set to attract well-meaning, caring, concerned people who are totally unaware of the true goals of the leaders of these organizations. And that's why I founded Putting People First. I want America to understand both sides of this issue so every citizen can make up his or her own mind what to believe. Obviously, I believe that when our side is heard, very few people would choose to become an animal rights proponent. Common sense shows it's people who have rights, not animals. We must all be very conscientious about animal welfare, but there's a big difference between animal welfare and animal rights. Putting People First is a nationwide group of concerned citizens from all walks of life who object to being intimidated by animal rights extremists. Our organization does not represent any industry or special interest. Instead, we represent the average American who drinks milk and eats meat, benefits from medical research, wears leather, fur, and wool, hunts and fishes, owns a pet, and goes to zoos. Please don't be silent. We, the not-yet-vocal majority, must speak up. Join our cause today by signing this petition and returning it to us at Putting People First. Already, we have collected thousands of petitions like this one, and we are using them on Capitol Hill right now to push for crucial legislation. Animal rights activists are picking off America's industries and jobs one by one. And if we don't stand up to their tactics, nobody will do it for us. Please, join thousands of your fellow Americans today and help us lobby, educate, and litigate for putting people first. I bet you never knew that human beings were in such danger. Well, that letter comes from Kathleen Marquard. That's the only way I know how to pronounce that name. M-A-R-Q-U-A-R-D and then a T. I mean, how do you pronounce something with a T that comes after a D? Marquard. I don't know how else to do it. I'm sorry. I don't mean to ridicule the name, but I just don't know how to do it. Anyway, she's the chairman or chairperson or what have you of this particular group located at 4401 Connecticut Avenue, Suite 310A, Washington, D.C., 20008. Phone number 202-364-7277. Couple of facts you might want to write down. Well, first, how about a myth first, okay? The cruelest show on earth? No. Animal extremists accuse the circus of cruelty and abuse. These false charges are quickly dispelled by a simple walk backstage at the circus where you can see for yourself the outstanding quality of animal care. Fact, circus animals are much healthier than and often live twice as long as in the wild. Ooh, any English majors out there? If we take away the clause in the middle, we have a sentence that reads, circus animals are much healthier than in the wild. I mean, it's like, you know, seeing somebody with all this blood coming out of their clothes. You don't quite know what's wrong with them. You know something's wrong inside the clothes somewhere. Something's obviously bleeding. I don't quite know what the technical term for that sentence is, but it's bleeding. Whew. Circus animals much healthier than in the wild. The federal government, another fact, the federal government regulates the care of circus animals and regularly inspects circuses. Circus people depend on the health and welfare of their animals for their livelihoods. It is preposterous to believe that people who have invested their lives in training and caring for rare and exotic animals would do anything to harm them. That's like saying that governments depend on people to be happy and healthy. And it's therefore preposterous to think that any government would do something to harm its people. Well, this particular document and a couple of others like it, including their newspaper, The People's Agenda, being distributed all over campus. Headline of their newspaper, Tsongas and Brown Linked to Animal Rights. Greenpeace Exposed, the Turner Fonda Axis. And they've been quite busy. They've only been around for 1 year. And in that year, they've distributed over 160,000 pounds of venison. They prepared classroom material to counter the propaganda being fed to our children in school. They've established the association network to help friendly industry groups keep in touch with us and each other. They've distributed press releases exposing animal terrorism printed all over America. They've organized a federal political action committee, sent candidate questionnaires to put politicians on the record, and endorsed and helped to elect 46 candidates and to defeat two incumbent congressional apologists for the animal cult. They also helped fund a survey by Oregon State University to find out what makes animal cultists tick. So in case all you animal rights activists out there think you've got it made, think again. There's people rights activists out there. And there'll be war between the animals and the people, and the blood shall flow down the mountainsides. Yea, it is so written. It's 30 minutes after 12 o'clock. The program is Brain Damage. But when we have topics like this, I really don't have to say that, do I? Telephone number 632-6901. And we'll open up the auxiliary line, 632-6500. For all you people that don't dial before the show even begins. Jerry Brown came to campus this week on Thursday, late Thursday afternoon, early Thursday evening. The Jerry Brown came to Stony Brook. It's quite an event. See a presidential candidate show up and speak to a rather exuberant crowd here. And never before have I seen a candidate so in touch with people around him, saying things like, the planet is turning into a garbage can. That the current administration is destroying things economically, environmentally, politically. And over the course of the last few weeks, the candidate who was ridiculed and made to look like some kind of clown is suddenly becoming legitimate. He's winning primaries. I believe Tuesday he won Vermont with 46% compared to Clinton's 17%. And I may be wrong about this, but it's what I heard secondhand, that he won in Alaska, though he didn't really win in Alaska because there was one candidate that came in ahead of him, but it's not really a candidate because, well, it was the undecided vote. So it was undecided number one, Brown number two, and Clinton number three. Something like that you just have to wonder about. With the primary coming up this Tuesday, New York is going to be, what's the word? Pivotal, yes. We're used to being pivotal. It's one of the understandings when you become a New Yorker that you'll be pivotal about very many things: standard of living, quality of education, and political primaries. Oh yes, baseball too. So this Tuesday coming up is bound to be historical, and for the first time in many years, the political process actually seems to be somewhat interesting. I mean, when Brown and Clinton get together, they really mix it up. And I remember 4 years ago, might even have been on this very program, I was complaining bitterly about the fact that when we have debates in this country, we don't really have debates. They don't talk to each other. Everything is controlled. Everything is timed. And maybe that's the case when it's Democrat versus Republican, but when it's Democrat versus Democrat, it sure gets interesting. Brown said one thing when he was here on campus. He was only here for about 20 minutes. Sort of ran onto the stage and then sort of ran away, with a mob of people chasing him. And what he said was, we have these politicians, one had the distinct feeling that he was referring to Clinton, that accept $1,000 checks. As some of you may know, Brown does not accept more than $100 through his famous 800 number, which he never fails to give out during one of these speeches. And he said these politicians, they get their $1,000 checks, $1,000 contributions, which buys them media time. And through that media time, they're able to get more $1,000 checks, which eventually buys them an election so they can serve a term and do absolutely nothing. And while you get the feeling that you may not agree with everything Brown says, you sure would be aware that he's doing something, that he's taking a stand and making people think by actually talking about acid rain, national health, welfare reform, and unemployment, and just what we're spending all this military cash on. To see somebody who actually stands a chance of being in power saying stuff like this, it makes you wonder what's happened. Is there hope? We have thousands and thousands of troops in Japan, and as Jerry Brown said on Thursday, who are we protecting Japan from? We have an urgent story that has just come in. About Clinton. There's some new information tonight about Bill Clinton's dealings with the draft when he was a student in 1969. The Clinton campaign says Clinton did receive a draft induction notice in 1969 before he joined the ROTC program at the University of Arkansas. A statement from the campaign says Clinton received the notice while he was a Rhodes Scholar in Oxford, England. You know, the place where you don't inhale. The statement says, however, that by the time it arrived, the induction date had passed. He's going to blame it on the post office. The campaign statement also says Clinton then asked his local draft board if he could finish his current term at Oxford and that his request was granted. The statement goes on to say that after Clinton returned home, he joined the ROTC at the University of Arkansas. Clinton hasn't denied that he received an induction notice. But in his earlier explanations about his draft status during the Vietnam War, he has never come right out and said that he received one. I guess they had to figure out how exactly the story would go. On Friday, a letter surfaced that was purportedly written in 1969 by a man who's now a lawyer in Little Rock, a letter that speaks of the draft induction notice received by Clinton. Both the lawyer and the man to whom the letter was addressed both say they oppose Clinton's presidential candidacy. But that's got nothing to do with it. And two of New York's major newspapers are endorsing Clinton in Tuesday's primary. But another one, Newsday, says New York Democrats should vote for Paul Tsongas. The former Massachusetts senator has suspended his presidential bid but he's still on the ballot in New York, and he's said he might decide to get back into the race. You know, okay, I have to point this out now, folks. The Associated Press sucks, okay? I just have to say that right now. I mean, this is a lie. What they just said here is a lie. Two of New York's major newspapers, yes, they are endorsing Clinton. That is the truth. But by... And I saw Star Trek tonight, so I know this. Withholding information is also a lie. If you know something is relevant to a story and you don't say it, it's as good as a lie. Right? Do we agree on that? Okay. Nowhere in this story does it say that there's one major New York newspaper that endorsed Brown. The New York Post endorsed Brown last week. You'd never know it reading this, would you? And last night on the news, I heard a couple of items about Jerry Brown and about Clinton. Brown said something nasty about Clinton. Clinton said something nasty about Brown. And they aired a 45-second soundbite of Clinton saying something nasty about Brown. But they never aired Brown saying anything nasty about Clinton. They just mentioned it. Then they go into Clinton, and then they stay with Clinton, and then they even go to Hillary Clinton and have something from her. But they never actually hear what Brown has to say. Who decides these things, and why? Why can't we decide for ourselves? And then you've got the New York Times. Anybody get the New York Times around here? Pick it up. Go on. Pick up the New York Times. I don't care what New York Times you pick up. Just pick up any New York Times over the last 2 or 3 weeks, and you'll see exactly what I'm talking about. Find any article in there about Brown. And yes, there's plenty of articles about Brown. Plenty of them. But almost never do they refer to him as Jerry Brown. They don't call him Jerry Brown. You know what they call him? They call him former Governor Edmund G. Brown, Jr. Now, what the hell does that mean? Who is former Governor Edmund G. Brown, Jr.? Doesn't sound like Jerry Brown to me. It sounds like somebody else. So you're reading about this guy, Edmund G. Brown, Jr., and not thinking about Jerry Brown. It's very subtle, but it gets you not to think about this person as this person. It also makes him sound very stodgy. That might be the real reason the Times does it, because they like to be stodgy, but everybody else gets referred to by their rightful name. Nobody. Nobody calls him that. He doesn't call himself that. So, it may seem like everything is on the level, but there's all these little tiny things that are happening. Makes you wonder. Now, let's see if we can, as long as we're talking about this kind of thing, find the Hillary Clinton story. Oh, here we go. Hillary Clinton says she shouldn't have answered a question posed by Vanity Fair that led to her raising questions about whether President Bush ever had an extramarital affair. In the May issue of the magazine, the wife of the Arkansas governor spoke about allegations of marital infidelity against her husband and raised the issue of Bush's behavior. Hillary Clinton did that by relating a conversation she had with Ann Cox Chambers of the Cox Media Company. The candidate's wife is quoted as saying that Chambers launched into a long description of Bush and what she called his carrying on, all of which is apparently well known in Washington. During a campaign stop yesterday in Syracuse, Hillary Clinton said, "I responded to questions that people were asking me at the time, and I, of all people, know the kind of pain that can be caused by even discussion of rumors in private conversations." The candidate's wife said she had not intended to hurt anyone. It was a private conversation. Oh, yeah, right. Sure. You've been through it yourself. You know exactly what it feels like, so you make it happen to somebody else. It's human nature. Got the story out. Now she's sorry. Well, all fine and dandy. Asked about the Vanity Fair interview earlier in the day during a visit to Governor Mario Cuomo in Albany, Bill Clinton said his wife had been under a considerable amount of stress. Clinton added that she had apologized and he agreed the apology was warranted. Questions about Clinton's marital fidelity have dogged his campaign since Jennifer Flowers sold her story of an alleged affair with Clinton to a supermarket tabloid earlier this year. Clinton has said Flowers' story isn't true. The American public says we really don't care about infidelity, about draft evasion, about sticking cigarettes in your mouth and just apparently leaving them there. We care about things that are important, things like national health, things like unemployment, things like wasting money overseas on soldiers that shouldn't even be there. And perhaps the American public is sick of spending thousands of bucks on the political process, which doesn't represent them in the first place. You know, I'm an independent, and I'm not even allowed to vote. Because I refuse to affiliate myself with a particular political party, I have no say in the whole process until it's down to two people. And that's democracy? Well, we have a form of democracy locally, finally, coming out of Port Jefferson Station. You might have read about this in Newsday. The Suffolk County Sheriff's Department has seized over 600 cars, trucks, and vans from a car dealership in Port Jefferson Station. The vehicles were taken as collateral for what Long Island Newsday reports is a $436 million debt owed to the General Motors Acceptance Corporation. John McNamara, one of Long Island's biggest real estate developers, owner of McNamara Buick Pontiac Incorporated, has reportedly been accused of using false pretenses to get loans from GMAC. In court proceedings that have been going on since December, GMAC has claimed McNamara reneged on an agreement to give up papers that would clarify what the GMAC money was used for. McNamara is the largest developer, and I use that term very loosely, developer in Suffolk County. He's especially active in Brookhaven, has holdings in Florida as well. He's a large-scale fundraiser for Suffolk County Republicans, and he also, they neglect to mention here, used to own the Port Jefferson Record, which used to be a newspaper, and turned into a propaganda sheet of a large-scale destroyer of nature. That's what I call a developer. Unfortunately, this didn't happen until now. Until God knows how many trees and forests and animals have been killed and replaced with condominiums and vacant supermarkets. But at least they won't be selling any more cars. All right, enough with this. Let's take a quick look at the news, and then we'll take some phone calls at 632-6901, 632-6500. And there's no news here. This is all insane. Okay, well, we've got a man who speaks for President Bush, Marlon Fitzwater, is denying a Washington Post report that says he got so exasperated over mismanagement by senior White House staff members, he left for an immediate vacation in Bermuda. Fitzwater says in a statement that his vacation has nothing to do with the reports of his frustration. That's pretty much it, I guess. Okay, how about this? More than 50 buses full of Long Islanders are leaving early this morning to join the pro-choice march in Washington, D.C. The Associate Executive Director of Suffolk County Planned Parenthood, Kathleen Jackson, says that this year more children, men, grandmothers, and teenagers are joining the rally for legal abortion. She says it may be because there is fear that Roe v. Wade could be overturned when the U.S. Supreme Court hears a Pennsylvania case later this month. She adds that because this is an election year, people are anxious to speak out. Jackson says buses sponsored by various groups will be leaving from locations island-wide as early as 5 in the morning. Folks, if you want to go down there, it's easy. It really is. There's buses. I'm sure there are buses leaving from Stony Brook, of course. Here at the radio station, the center of information, we know absolutely nothing about it. Nothing posted, but there are buses leaving from somewhere around here. Just ask around. But if you can afford it, take a train. Trains are pleasant, and they get you there. And it's really, really easy to get to Washington, D.C. by train. And it's easy to get there by bus, too, and certainly by car if you have one of those. It's something to participate in. I went down to the last one, which had about 250,000 people, I believe. Of course, if you watch the news on TV, you'd think that there were maybe 10 people there, but there was quite a few more than that. It's something to participate in the process, to feel like you're a part of things, and to see how it's reported later on. I heard a report about this yesterday where they were interviewing some anti-choice people, anti-abortion, I guess we should call them, and they were saying how they were going to fight the pro-choice people every step of the way. And I don't think they realized how bad that sounds. To stand up there on national TV and say, we're against choice and we're going to fight it every step of the way. Because that's really what they wound up saying. Ah, it was something to hear. 632-6901-632-6500. We don't have to talk about these subjects, but I happen to think they're the most interesting ones around. Let's see who's out there. Oh, I'm going to pick one at random. Good evening.
Hello.
How you doing?
Question. Are you in favor of time change?
You know, I'm glad somebody brought that up because in less than an hour and 10 minutes, it's going to be daylight savings time. There's not a damn thing I can do about it. You're asking if I'm in favor of it? It's confusing. It is confusing because I'm going to get off the air at 2 o'clock and then all of a sudden it's going to be 3 o'clock. And I never feel good when that happens. You know?
Okay. Why is Jerry Brown called Governor Moonbeam?
Well, it's got something to do with that that prediction he made years ago that one day we'd be talking over satellites or businesses would be using space to communicate. And guess what? That's exactly what's happening. It's exactly what we're doing. We're using satellites for communications in space. I don't quite know where the moonbeam thing got started. It had something to do with the moon, I guess. You know, the guy's a dreamer. He really is. And we need somebody that can think in the metaphysical sense as well as the practical sense. I think he can do both.
On the abortion issue, there are pro-choice people,
uh-huh,
and there are pro-life people, and et cetera. Are there any anti-life people?
I don't think any of them are anti-life. Yeah, I mean, that's why I never use the word pro-life, because that's just such a, you know, it's wrong. It does, you know, to be pro-life means that you're fighting people that are anti-life. Now, these people themselves on the news are saying that they're anti-choice. They don't want people to choose. That is how they describe themselves. So pro-choice is a valid term, and I guess anti-choice is also a valid term, but I'll settle for anti-abortion.
Yes, and one thing, though, why is it that there's a hand-picked nature toward candidates? And it seems, I remember seeing an editorial cartoon a number of months ago, almost probably a year ago, too, I guess. It was like this idea that there are no Democratic candidates out there. And the big spoof was that they all of a sudden the Democratic Party picked a man on the street and put him up in front of the convention. And, like, this was supposed to be a big joke. Wouldn't that be great to have a man on the street? Why does it have to be a professional politician or something? Isn't that ridiculous?
Yeah. Of course, you need to know some things, but a lot of this is simply a fashion show of sorts. Where, you know, absurd things like who has sex with who, and you know, what are your feelings towards flag burning and things like that, are given front stage instead of, you know, the important things like where do you really stand, how do you really feel about these issues, and the issues are given short shrift. So, you know, the man on the street is certainly as capable of voicing an opinion, and certainly the man on the street is a lot more intelligent than we ever give them credit for. I don't think they'd ever survive, though, because they don't know the rules, you know, how to wear your tie, how to stare straight ahead into the camera when you're debating somebody next to you, as Clinton seems to have perfected. You know, Clinton is perfect, a perfect media person. He knows all the rules. Brown really doesn't know the rules as well, but he does know how to get to a crowd. He does know how to, I mean, we were, you know, here at Stony Brook, somebody standing on top of the Fine Arts Center with a Stop AIDS poster was able to shout down at him, what are you going to do about AIDS, and have a presidential candidate answer him. You know, that's the kind of thing I didn't think was possible only a couple of months ago. And I'm sure Clinton, I'm sure Bush would not have done that. But Brown, I mean, they didn't come to Stony Brook, did they? So it tells you Brown is different.
I find myself in a strange position of actually almost, only almost, agreeing with Mr. Bush on the idea of congressional limits of terms and things. Sure, it's necessary to have professional politicians run Congress. It's only for that reason. It's not a matter of like, oh my goodness, Congress is really corrupt. It's more like, do you really have to have professional politicians there? Is that so necessary?
Well, it's an interesting thought. We do have a limit on the term of a president. So why can we not have a limit on the term of a senator or a congressman? You know, I don't really see any reason why not. If you accept one, why not accept the other? And there is a danger in having somebody serving for 20 years. Just like doing anything for 20 years is a danger in, because you get stuck in a rut and people just expect the same old thing from you, and what we need are new things, innovative things. And you have this guy that's been around forever. He's not likely to do anything different to change with the times. And that's what moves society forward.
Yeah.
So yeah, I guess, I'd almost agree with that too. It's funny that Bush is pushing for that.
Yeah, and that's about it, I guess.
Okay.
Have a good night.
Thanks. Thanks for calling. Our number is 632-6901 and 632-6500. Good evening, good morning, you're on the air.
Yeah, you wasted a lot of time today now talking about everything.
Okay, well, that's what we're here for.
And another thing I want to bring up is, why is your theme song so long?
I don't know.
It takes up too much time. You could, doing something constructive.
You're right. I'll try to conserve my time.
There's something I wanted to bring up. Who do you think killed the girl in the Richard Marx video?
Gosh, I don't know. Is that something that's troubling the youth of today?
Actually, a lot of people take a bet on it in school. My guess is the sheriff did it.
Uh-huh.
2-1 odds.
Well, I haven't seen it, unfortunately.
Haven't seen it?
I feel...
I have chapter one, chapter two.
I feel really stupid, but I haven't seen it.
Everybody was waiting for chapter two.
Yeah.
Two comes out. It shows absolutely nothing.
Uh-huh.
Another thing, you were talking about abortion before. If you want to call Long Island abortion thing, the number for it is 588-3832. You got to X for Joe. Not right, you should call it right now.
Uh-huh.
Got to X for Joe.
Good morning.
Hello.
How you doing?
Hello. This is a call and talk show. Why do you give us a freaking 50 cents?
Good morning.
Hello? Hello?
Yes.
Hi.
Go ahead. You're on the air.
Yeah? Cool. So, what's up? Hello?
Good morning.
Hello?
Yes?
Yeah. How you doing tonight, Eric?
I'm doing just fine. What are you, beeping? Are you going to explode or something?
Yeah, actually, it is a bomb, but don't worry about it. It should go off for another 20 minutes.
Okay, well, then you got some time. What's on your mind?
Nothing much.
Waning moments.
Can I just say hi to a couple people before I start my topic?
Okay, go ahead.
I'll say hi to Trim, Smile, a bunch of other mumblers.
Smile?
Yeah, Smile.
Okay.
You were talking about animals before?
Yeah, animals, and how they're a threat to us all.
Well...
If you see animals, throw some blood on
those
them.
Those is animals?
Sorry?
You count Negroes as animals?
Count what?
Negroes.
Good morning.
Yeah, this is Mr. Quail.
Hi, Mr. Quail.
Last week, I was attacked by just about everybody, including the gay libertarians. And you let them attack me, and you didn't do anything.
The gay libertarians attacked you?
Yes. I think his name is Tom. The guys who like the libertarians.
Wait, hold on. I saw a mob in the street once as I was driving by, was this by the 7-Eleven?
No. I mean, on the show last week, they said they wanted to kill Mr. Quail. Well, I want to kill them.
Well, it sounds like you all want the same thing, then.
I want to kill them, because they're so boring.
Well, you see, I think the problem is that you keep missing each other, you know? I mean, think of it. If you both came together at the same time, perhaps in the same place, you know...
I'd kill them.
Yeah, you could kill each other.
No, I'd kill them.
I mean, that's how Americans solve all their problems, right?
No, they're so boring. Every time they get on, there's... talk about the libertarian thing.
Well, killing them isn't going to make them much more interesting, you know.
They won't get on the air anymore. If I ever see them anywhere, I'll kill them.
Oh, now, have you ever seen them anywhere before?
No.
Well, then how are you going to know if you see them? I mean, what are you going to do? Ask everybody you see to speak and see if they match the radio voice that you hear?
I can say if somebody knows their phone number, they can say it on the air real quick, and then I'll write it down and I'll call them. And I won't stop bothering them. And
do you have anything constructive to say today, Mr. Quail?
Yes, I want to say that everybody should vote Republican and Quail in 96.
What about 92?
Bush, absolutely.
Bush and Quail, right? They're both running together, right?
A Quail Buchanan ticket in 1996.
Oh, no. Quail Buchanan?
Yes.
You think that's going to work?
Yes, Buchanan's an excellent man.
Well, what's David Duke going to say? I thought he's going to be miffed.
No, he's a loser. Would you vote for him in Louisiana?
Would I vote for him in Louisiana? If I was in Louisiana, I don't know what I'd do. I'd probably do a lot of crazy things.
You wouldn't vote for Duke?
Well, I don't know. It depends what he was running for. There are some things, if he was running for, I would definitely vote for him for, but something involving politics, I don't know.
You can't vote in the April 7th primary?
No, and that really bums me out because, you know, I think people should be able to vote in both primaries. Doesn't that make sense to you?
Well, if you're an independent, you shouldn't be able to vote.
If I'm an... Look, think of what you're saying here. I'm somebody that doesn't have allegiances to either party, and I'm not allowed to have any say in anything until November.
But you're so dumb that you can't pick a party.
But I don't want to pick a party because I don't... I'm not saying... Look, Mr. Quayle, I might agree with something a Republican says. So therefore, I don't want to be called a Democrat so that, you know, I have to, like, stick to party lines or at least be assumed that I'm going to stick to party lines. I don't believe in that. I believe in voting my conscience.
Which party do you lean to more?
If anybody has a conscience, though, they vote Democrat. Sorry?
Which party do you lean to more, the Democrats or Republicans?
Oh, definitely Democrats, but... You know, that doesn't make me a Democrat. You see, if I agree with somebody, that doesn't turn me into that person. I just believe in being independent. But if you believe in being independent around here, you're penalized, and that's not fair.
Didn't you say that you wanted a Cuomo Jackson ticket?
I thought that'd be kind of cool, actually. But Jackson's supposedly running with Brown. We've got a Jackson Brown ticket.
I hate Jesse Jackson. He's a racist.
Well, what makes you say he's a racist?
Because one time he spit in a white man's food only because of the reason that he's white. He supports affirmative action and quotas, which is racist against white people. And he's always saying how much he loves the African Americans and all this stuff. I mean, I just love to see him get punched in the face one time.
Well, now, you see, that's an interesting statement. Now, if Jesse Jackson said something about that, you'd call him a racist for wanting to have a white person punched in the face. You see, it's like... You have to take everything with into perspective.
He's like a white David Duke. Jackson cares about the black people, and Duke cares about the white people. And Cuomo, he's a mafia figure, just like Clinton said. He's right.
Let me ask you a question. Do you think black people tend to be more racist than white people?
Yes, because I
rest my case. Thanks for calling. Good morning.
Oh, hello. How are you doing today? Your show suck dick.
Good morning.
Hello?
Yes, go ahead.
This is Bobby from England.
From England? You got a good connection tonight.
Oh, you snooty.
Sorry?
Are you snooty?
I don't think so.
Are you snotty?
I don't think so, but you know what?
What?
I think your connection is going bad. Good morning.
Yeah, I got a question. If you're at the Smithhaven Mall, how do you get to Stony Brook College?
Well, first of all, don't call it Stony Brook College. That gets the administration very upset. It's called the State University of New York at Stony Brook. You can say the university at Stony Brook, but that's about it. How do you get there?
Yeah. Because there's some poor Japanese guy driving around aimlessly looking for Stony Brook College, and I didn't know how to tell him to get there.
Well, now, okay, Smithhaven Mall, right? We're talking Smithhaven Mall? Hello?
Yeah.
Okay. You know Route 347, right?
Yep.
You got to head down Route 347, up the hill, all right? And then over the where the tree is?
Mm-hmm.
There's like a tree there? And then there's where the trees used to be. You make a left. And that's Nichols Road, where all the houses are. And you just pass all the asphalt, go where the smoke is coming out of the smokestacks, and that's us.
Another question I want to ask you.
It's easy. Anybody can. You can find it by air, too.
Really?
Sure. Or by sense of smell.
Well, another point I wanted to make.
Yeah.
I think we should all vote Quayle, because he'll have all the homosexuals killed, and I think that would better the country a hell of a lot.
Thank you so much for sharing that with us. Good morning.
Yo, boom.
Good morning.
Good morning.
How are you doing?
Feeling happy tonight?
Oh, my fingers are feeling happy. Let's put it that way.
I got something that might make you feel even happier.
Okay, what?
Happy. That's right. It's the happy, happy, joy, joy song.
Happy, happy, joy, joy. Happy, happy, joy, joy. Happy, happy, joy, joy. Happy, happy, joy, joy.
What do you think?
Well, that was great. That's the kind of thing we really need around here. You know, all right, you obviously know when that program is on, right?
I'm sorry?
When is that program on?
It's on tomorrow morning at 11 o'clock.
11 o'clock on what channel?
Nickelodeon.
Is it on every Sunday at 11 o'clock?
Yep.
And any other time?
Well, it's supposed to be on MTV at 8:30 on Saturday nights. 8:30 p.m., but it wasn't on tonight. They had some Rock and Jock special.
I see. And how long does it last for?
It's a half hour.
I see. You see,
I don't get cable TV, and most of my friends are kind of in space, so they can't tape it for me.
Right.
So hopefully I'll finally see this show.
Why, you have access to cable tomorrow?
No, but I might have access to somebody that has access to cable.
That's good. Well, it's also on Sunday nights, 11:30 p.m. on MTV.
It's sad we don't have cable. You know, you miss so much.
Yeah.
You really do.
And Stimpy. I mean, that's number one. They're the best.
So I hear. And I agree, but I've never seen them.
You never seen them. You
never
have to see them.
It's like not seeing The Simpsons. You know, can you imagine what life would be like if you never saw The Simpsons?
It's not boring after a while. Ren and Stimpy is a new thing.
Okay, let's...
Oh, you know, I think all this... I think, you know, instead of voting for Quail 96, we should vote for Ren.
Why is that?
Because he's really smart, and Stimpy shit will be vice president because he's not that smart. But
well, now tell me what their platform would be.
I don't know. It would just be like happy, happy, joy, joy.
Well, we could use a little more of that. I guess it's like 1,000 points of light or something, huh?
Yeah, something like that. But, you know, it's a really cool show. Well, and I heard that Nickelodeon just bought like 20 new episodes. Some guy Kevin was on like 3 weeks ago told me that.
They bought how many?
Like 20 new episodes.
Wow.
So it's, you know, I'm really overjoyed about it.
Well, that's very happy news.
Yeah, I'd just like to say, you know, oh joy, and everybody, tomorrow morning, 11 o'clock, I want to see everybody watching Ren and Stimpy and calling next week and talking about it.
Okay, thanks so much for sharing that with us.
Why, sweetly.
You see that? Now, I got something out of that call. I definitely got some information that I've been looking for. So thanks for calling in with that information. 632-6901, 632-6500, area code 516. We're WUSB in Stony Brook. And we're smiling down on you tonight from all around. It's currently 4 degrees Celsius. That's 39 on the Fahrenheit scale. And what do you think? Should we take another call? We'll take another call. Good morning.
Yeah, so I can say hi to three people.
Three people?
Yeah.
Okay, but do it in reverse order, please.
Reverse order?
Yeah. The way you were going to say it backwards. Not the names, but just like, you know, read number three first. Read number two, second, and read number one, third.
Okay. Hi, Blondie. Hi, Colleen. And hi, Mike.
See, Blondie never gets first billing.
No?
Now Blondie got first billing finally. You see, if you do things like that, it all evens out.
Uh-huh. You were talking about animals before?
Yeah, I was. I certainly was.
Like, what type of animals?
All kinds of animals.
Yeah.
Cockroaches, and dogs, and sheep. And lions and seals.
Monkeys.
Elephants. You name it.
Monkeys.
Monkeys too, yeah.
Eh?
Do you know that they led the animals under the Midtown Tunnel a couple of weeks ago? They do that once a year when they go to the circus. They park the train right there by Hunters Point Avenue, and then they take all the animals out of the circus train, and they lead them through the tunnel, and they go to Madison Square Garden. I bet you didn't know that.
I didn't know that.
It's quite a sight to see elephants walking through the Midtown Tunnel. They do it at about 3 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah?
So as not to interfere with rush hour.
Oh. And, I could do an imitation.
Okay, do an imitation, as long as it's not of me. I said, as long as it's not of me. Good morning.
Hi, hey, Eric, what's going on?
How you doing?
Tom?
Hi, Tom.
Today I just came from the Libertarian Convention. That was at, Suffolk County Libertarian Convention was at, Stony Brook.
All right. Wait a minute. How many people even knew there was a Libertarian Convention? I didn't know. Nobody told me. Nobody knows these things.
Are you on their mailing list?
Do you have to be on a mailing list to find out things? It should be well known. It should be publicized. We should be reading things on the radio about this.
Well, they were actually supposed to be on David Letterman. They were also supposed to be on Good Morning America. And
I'm sure David Letterman would have been all sarcastic to them. And I'm sure Good Morning America would have just been smiling their plastic teeth and playing commercials.
No, actually, David Letterman is a libertarian.
He is?
Yes, he is.
Wow.
He was. He sits around the office and he hands out libertarian literature. And he gets in the head bosses there at NBC, you know, give him a lot of flack about that.
Wait a minute. He hands out... Would you just take something from David Letterman if he was handing it out in the store? I mean, I don't see how he can do that without getting mobbed by fans.
Well, no, in his office at the NBC building.
You mean if I walk into David Letterman's office in the NBC building, he's going to give me libertarian literature?
Quite possibly.
But how am I going to be able to walk into his office? I'm sure nobody can do that.
Well, do you want literature?
I mean, the only people that can probably walk into his office are people like, you know, Al Roker and people who are up in that part of the building in the first place.
Would you like some literature on a libertarian part?
Oh, sure. I like literature on all kinds of things. I mean, look, I've got this this, you know, animal rights, death to animal rights people, putting people first. If I got that, I can get anything. So, yeah, sure, send all the literature in here. In fact, that's a good opportunity to give out the address. Brain Damage, WUSB, State University at Stony Brook, New York, 11794. There.
Oh, very good, yeah. Now, I don't know if, you know, I apologize to Mr. Quayle if he thinks that I'm, like, attacking him personally. No, I'm just attacking kind of, like, his ignorance, you know, because he cannot back up anything that he says. Not one thing. I mean, he calls up and I don't know who the other person is who just called up and said that all gay people should be killed. I mean, that's, that sounds very much like the guy who calls up every week and I guess says he's Quayle. I don't know.
Oh, it's a common sentiment that I hear quite a few places.
Yeah. And then Quayle, of course, automatically assumes that we're all homosexual, which is, you know, that's none of his business. And, you know, I mean, who's he to pass judgment on other people?
He's whoever he is. But I don't know. It's a hard question to answer.
being about the limits on congressional and senatorial people, that's been a libertarian platform since 1972. Based on the premise that what you need is citizen statesmen, not professional politicians. Because after a while, well, most congressmen and senators are just in there to get elected again. They're not really in there to represent you, you know.
Ain't that the truth?
Well, maybe, you know, that should be limited. A constitutional amendment limiting the terms of senators and congressmen.
Yeah, because, you know, it gets very easy to just keep doing the same thing over and over again. How many of us, you know, do the same job over and over again, or meet with the same people, or do the same radio program. Well, never mind that one. But the point is, you know, we tend to fall into ruts. We tend to do the same thing all the time.
Well,
and it loses its effect after a while.
How long has Ted Kennedy been in a senator from Massachusetts?
Oh, since about 1900, I think.
And Joe Biden's been one for 18 years from Delaware, and, you know, Strom Thurmond and Jesse Helms have been in there since, you know, Price was a carpenter.
Exactly.
You know, they're not really representing anymore. They're just in there for, like, you know, I guess the fun or publicity or something like that, you know.
They're in there because they can't get a job doing anything else.
Yeah, true.
I mean, would you hire Jesse Helms?
No.
I wouldn't hire Jesse Helms if he came in looking for a job. No way. No, what could he possibly do besides, you know,
if he called the studio,
paintings and things.
If he called the studio, would you cut him off?
I wouldn't cut him off. Because cutting him off doesn't do anybody any good. But having him speak makes him think he's done something good and gives everyone else a good laugh.
Yeah, true. So, yeah, very true. But what was I thinking? As for you said you vote your conscience now.
Conscience, not conscious.
Conscience, yeah.
Two different things.
Oh, yeah, of course, yeah.
But it's good to be conscious when you vote, though.
What do you think about the H. Ross Perot deal that's coming around here?
Explain it for the people.
Oh, H. Ross Perot is going to run on his own independent party as a...
The billionaire, right?
Yes.
Well, I mean, you know, that's all I know him as, is the billionaire. I hope he has more of a platform than just being a billionaire.
That's about all he is.
Yeah, so, I mean, that's not, you know, anything substantial.
See, the sensible thing is people are going to, you know, say, well, I'm going to vote for H. Ross Perot because I don't want to vote for the Democrats or Republicans. It's going to be a protest vote, you know. If you're going to vote a protest vote, you know, why don't you vote vote Libertarian. You know, this way, I mean, they do stand for something, you know. I mean, if you're going to, and then people will say, well, no, then if I vote Libertarian, I'm wasting my vote.
Let me ask you a question. Now, you know the Libertarians pretty well.
Yes.
How have they, because they never tell us this. They never tell us this in the papers. How did they do?
They don't get in the papers. I think I went over this a couple of weeks ago. They're just,
That's why I'm asking you, because it's not in the papers. You would have this information. How did they do in the 1988 elections?
1988 elections?
Nationwide.
Nationwide, they brought in about 300,000 votes.
Uh-huh. And how does that compare to the one before that, 1984?
1984 was very small.
I mean, is it growing? Is it getting bigger?
Well, you know, it all comes down like the ballot access and also...
Uh-huh.
It is a growing thing. The biggest election they've done so far is 1980 with Dave Clark, who pulled in around 900-something thousand votes.
Uh-huh.
And he was on the ballot in all 50 states.
That's almost a million votes.
Yeah. 1984, they were on the ballot in...
You see, it makes such a big difference when you see things changing, when you see numbers growing. But as long as you're down there and you're just a fringe party and everybody thinks you're just nuts, you know, it doesn't matter. No matter what you do, it doesn't make a difference. But when... It's like what I'm seeing with Brown here, and whether or not you agree with Brown is irrelevant. It's the fact that he's suddenly being taken seriously because enough people are speaking up, enough people are giving in their $100.
I'll tell you, with the Libertarian Party, the bigger they get, the harder the Democrats and Republicans come down on them. Because,
uh-huh.
You know, 1972, where they pulled in like a whole 25,000 votes or something like that, and they just said, aha, you know, little third party, they ain't going to amount to anything. 1980, they pull in almost a million votes, you know. If John Anderson didn't run, they probably would have pulled in twice that much because all the, you know, votes probably would have went to Dave Clark. But, I mean, you know, it's just, they're really limited to because for ballot access, also because the press, you know, I mean, you know it as well as I do, the press has, like, too much to lose by printing the truth, you know. I mean, as like you said, you're going, you know, the news system you got there, they're lying to you, you know? They have too much to lose if they printed the truth, you know?
That's true. It's, and, you know, there's two different kinds of lies, but not telling you things, I think, especially when you're the press, is just as bad as telling you things that are completely false, because it gives you false impressions. And, you know, we're always constantly being given false impressions about the political state of the world, about our country in particular.
Well, I could tell you, Eric, if you're interested in getting some libertarian literature, you can call this line. It's 800 line. You'll leave your name and your address, and they'll send you a whole big information booklet.
Okay, give it out.
That's 1-800-682-1776. And if you'd like to write to some local people, like Suffolk County Libertarian Organization, that's Post Box 102, Miller Place, New York, 11764.
All right, sounds good.
All right, I have one more person here to speak to you.
Okay.
Yo, Steve, I got a... Steve.
Steve?
Steve was the guy he was just talking about, and I was at that damn convention the whole time.
Ah, okay.
It wasn't a damn convention, it was a good one. But anyway...
Damn good convention.
You were there listening to Jerry Brown, right?
Yes, I was there, right there listening and watching Jerry Brown. It was quite an event.
See, the funny thing about it was is... did you hear the people like, what about AIDS, Jerry? We're dying over here.
Yeah, I heard that, and he responded to them, which I thought was incredible, that he actually stopped his speech and said, well, you know, I'm getting to that. I got kind of this semi-structured speech here. I plan on talking to that issue. You know, and, you know, it did make a difference. What they said did make a difference. Whether or not he satisfied them, I don't know.
All he said, he's like this. You know, they kept on saying that they're dying. I mean, the time he got around to it, this is what... Basically, what he said, he's like, we're going to give more money to AIDS, and that's it. That was, like, basically it. It was like, oh, thanks, Jerry. That's a lot.
Okay, what do you want him to say?
So he could have just went to a little more depth, that's all. Because, like, he said the same about school, because obviously the majority of the people there were in some kind of school, like Stony Brook, or they might have been from, who knows, you know, Scruffick or, no, Suffolk, I call it Scruffick, but that, don't worry. He was talking about, you know, the price of colleges and how more money for that. And I could see that because the majority of the people were students. But he explained so many things just in different variations, and he could have just went to a little more depth. He didn't have to say much, but he just could have said, instead of, I'm going to spend more money on AIDS.
I see what you're saying, but even the little he said, I think, is more than anybody else has said.
Yeah, he was all right. He is funny because he runs out like Mr. Teamsters with his satin jacket on.
You noticed that, and he was surrounded by other people wearing the same kind of jackets.
The only thing is, next time you see a picture of Jerry Brown, think of this. You remember Chips?
Yeah.
The sergeant on Chips. That's who Jerry Brown is.
I still think he looks like one of my gym teachers.
Is that too? Another thing is, what's the deal with Steve Kreitz? What did he say? He was leaving from Turmoil?
He did.
Yeah, he said... He's like, well, this is my last show. He got all fed up because not enough people donated during the radiothon, and he said he was leaving. And, you know, that's like prime time what he has.
Well, I hope it's not true, but you folks out there, you know, you gotta donate to the radio station. If you don't, not only Steve Kreitzer will be gone, we'll all be gone because, you know, another radio station will take over our spot out east. You don't want that, do you?
I know, and all you people out there who listen to it, you know, Dan Quayle, whoever, it doesn't matter. At least send some letters or call in and say, Steve, come back or show some support that you're interested. And the other thing was, how you talking about the names and the, who, Jerry Brown, what do you call, Edgar, what the hell is his name?
Edmund.
Edmund G. Brown Jr., yeah.
Right. The same thing with, William Kennedy Smith. His name isn't Kennedy, it's William Smith, but all of a sudden when the rape charges, they called him William Kennedy Smith. His name is not William Kennedy Smith. I'm not saying I'm pro or against him,
right.
I'm just stating the fact that, you know, for people to know, oh, he's a Kennedy. The media just plopped it in there. But that's not his name. It's not accurate.
That's a good point. They certainly did plop it in there. Well, is it his middle name?
No. Oh, come on. That's like my name being Damon Smith Rushdie. It'd be like, no.
Well, I mean, sometimes people use maiden names and things.
Yeah.
But I don't know, but...
It isn't. It's something like, Boopsie or something. I have no idea.
Yeah. No, I see what you're saying. It's there for a purpose to get a story across.
So if you're like, it's whatever. But don't think you ever hear from Satan? Did he ever give you a call back?
To update everybody, we did a special show on Satan escaping from hell last week.
I haven't seen him in school lately.
You know, I was looking at the newspaper, it was the Weekly World News, that had the front story last week, and they had a different story this week.
Yeah.
You know, I think the government got to them and told them not to do anything more in the story.
Government was scared.
Well, I mean, it's Satan. Wouldn't you be scared?
Right. And I heard the only thing
he
might
be scared.
Yeah, I think he's...
Oh, no, wait. You didn't hear, did you?
Oh, what?
You didn't hear. A purchase order was filed in that... I forget what that little remote town in Alaska was, but there was... I checked this out. Remember we called there and there was no telephone service?
Hey, Umiat.
Right, Umiat, thank you. There was a purchase order last week for 4 telephone lines.
Really?
To Umiat. Now, who do you think is behind that?
Holy schmo, I got the chills.
He's
I'm not kidding.
He's going to put in 4 phone lines. God knows what he needs 4 of them for. And who knows what's going to happen once he gets telephones.
Or is the new sign of the devil, 444.
Well, fortunately, Alaska Bell takes about 4 to 6 months to install a phone, but do that...
Hey, listen,
yeah.
4 to 6 months, the number 4, is that kind of ironic?
I think number 6 is ironic.
I know, but maybe 4 plus 4 minus 2 is 6. I don't know, who cares? But anyway, the other thing...
You should work for these people.
The only thing is, I'm wondering, if anyone has information, I'm serious. How come this is? Every time, it's only with coffee this happens. When you drink coffee, there's a certain time period. It always hits me at a certain time period. It only happens with coffee. I could drink millions of gallons of water or any kind of liquid, and this never happens.
I have a feeling we're not going to want to hear this, but go ahead and say it anyway.
It makes me mixturate.
Yeah, I knew we weren't going to want to hear this.
But listen, it's the only thing that does it. And I don't understand. And it's like clockwork.
Clockwork?
It's like clockwork.
Clockwork.
Clockwork. You could set your clock by me mixturating after I drink coffee. And I want to know, is it because it's so hot? Or what's the chemical in it that makes me do it? No other liquid makes me do that.
Well, what makes you think it's a chemical in the coffee that's making you do it? Maybe it's a chemical inside you.
No, because I have tea, it doesn't even make me do it. Hot cocoa, 7-Up, whatever, you name it.
Uh-huh.
Nothing makes me do that except the coffee. And I've gone to all the different brands. There has to be something in coffee. I'm dying.
Hmm.
You know, every I have coffee. I have 1 cup of coffee. And I'm like, God, I'm like, 1, 2, 3. And it's like, whoa.
That fast?
You got it.
Boy, that is incredible.
I just leave my fly open because
let me just ask you a question. Do you like coffee?
I love it.
Oh, all right. There goes my first solution.
See, I like coffee. Black coffee, you know, I like my women like I like my coffee, black and strong.
Uh-huh.
Anyway, I'm just saying that. It's
yeah, I've heard the saying.
The other thing was, oh, God, who knows? Whatever.
Yeah, whatever. Listen, we got to move on to some more calls here.
Just don't forget, Andre Maru, Nancy Lord, 92, and have a good night.
I'll try. Thanks for calling. Actually, you didn't call, but the guy before you called. 1:24 in the morning, 632-6901, 632-6500. And yes, once again, we've moved into the time of the show. Well, we must do those things that need to be done. And apart from having an orchestra playing a nice dramatic theme, we must also ask dramatic questions, receive dramatic answers, answers that will shape people's lives and affect people's digestive tracts, namely, what's for lunch?
Good morning. Today, Friday, April 3rd, at All Cafeterias for breakfast, oatmeal, French waffles, hash browns, sausage links, and eggs to order. Lunch is clam chowder, gyro, tuna melt, veggie pocket, shoestring fries, zucchini, hot dogs, deli, and salad bar. Dinner is clam chowder, cheese lasagna, shrimp chow mein, baked fish, fried rice, Italian mixed vegetables, spinach, hot dogs, and a salad bar. Fanny Bright's Food Mall is closed tonight. Thanks again for calling the FSA Meal Line.
Well, whip me up some shoestring fries, will you please? Ooh. Get you thinking, you know? Shoestring fries. Ah. Well, you can't get anything around here now. It's 1:26 in the morning. They should have 24-hour cafeterias, don't you think? They should have 24-hour machines, for that matter. Oh, well, another day, another life. Another call. Good morning.
Hello.
How you doing?
What's up?
Oh, my God. Who put that there? Well, thanks for making me look at that. That's interesting. Wow. Apparently somebody's been doing work in the ceiling here, and there's all these pornographic pictures on the ceiling.
Oh, goodness.
Did you know those were there?
No. Dwight never told me they were there.
That's something else.
Actually.
Yeah, okay. So, what's up with you?
Nothing. You know what electrician yesterday?
What's that?
The Island Medical Center is not open 24 hours.
The what's not open?
Island Medical Center.
The Island Medical Center? Why? Do you need medical attention?
Sunrise Highway. My son was moshing in a pit, and he dislocated his arm, and we took him to Island Medical Center, and it was not open.
Uh-huh. Was there a sign on the door saying what to do if you, you know, dislocate various pieces of you?
No. Nothing.
Are you on a cordless phone?
Yes.
I thought so.
My best friend and my boyfriend are doing something not very nice.
Well, that's what the people close to you are for.
Oh, wait, here.
Yeah.
Hello?
Yes.
How you doing?
I'm doing just fine.
All right, how's your night?
So far, my night is pretty uneventful, but I'm holding in there.
Yeah, right.
Thanks for asking. I like when people call me to ask me how my night is.
I guess good to know. Don't know what to do with them.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, I'm sure I can transfer you to some sort of advice line if you want.
Yeah, sure, can you?
I'd be happy to.
All right,
hold on a second while we take care of this. Transfer him. Who should we transfer him to? Somebody who knows about these things.
Hello, this is the phone mail system.
Goodbye. And he's off talking to her. Everybody's happy. Let's take a look at the weather. It's 4 degrees Celsius outside, and that's 39 on the Fahrenheit scale. And the forecast. Oops. All right, hold on. Let me just put that back together. Forecast calls for partly cloudy and cold, low around 30. Sunday, a mix of sun and clouds and breezy. I never knew that was a noun. A mix of sun and clouds and breezy. I mean, I'm not just being, you know, bitchy about this, am I? People don't know how to talk anymore? The Associated Press is leading everybody, but a mix of sun and clouds and breezy. Whew. High in the upper 40s to near 50. Sunday night, clear and cold with diminishing winds, low in the low 30s. And Monday, sunny, a little a little milder high, 50 to 55. I got to say, this is my kind of weather. This is the kind of weather I like, where it's freezing cold, 4 degrees Celsius, and then it goes up to 50 to 55, which is, what, 10 degrees Celsius or so? You don't know what's going to happen next. Cold one day, warm the next, snow one day, rain the next. It's my kind of weather. I like it a lot. You know, while Jerry Brown was on campus, all of a sudden, well, right before Jerry Brown came on campus, it started snowing really, really hard. Everybody's standing there waiting for speaker after speaker after speaker to get finished. And it wasn't their fault because, you know, Jerry Brown wasn't there yet. It's not like they were holding him back. But people grew impatient. They wanted the star attraction. They wanted to see Jerry Brown. And all of a sudden, out of nowhere, and it's about, you know, about 50 degrees. It's pretty warm outside. All of a sudden, it starts snowing really, really hard. And I've never seen a crowd suddenly laugh at the weather. But everybody broke out in hysterics. Because this is the most absurd thing you'd ever seen. Snow coming down when it's nowhere near cold enough for there to be snow. And all kinds of strange sights. Kites flying in the sky. Who knows what would happen next. That's the way a presidential election should be, never knowing what's going to come next. Good morning.
Hello, this is Satan.
Good morning. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. I hung up on Satan. Oh, no. Hello, who's this?
This is Bobby.
Hi, how you doing?
How you doing?
I'm doing much better, but I might not be in a little while. Hanging up on Satan is not a good thing to do.
Done that.
Maybe I didn't do that. Maybe he hung up on me and I just pressed the button at the same time.
Oh, no, you hung up on him.
Well, I don't need an accuser. I mean, I can condemn myself, you know.
You did it.
All right, I did it, okay? I confess. I don't think that means a lot to anybody in hell.
Oh.
Does it?
Oh, I guess. Yes.
How do you win favor in hell? I mean, do you, you know, if you confess, then that's good that you confess, and if you're good, you're not supposed to be in hell, so they must get really angry. So you probably have to lie and say, I didn't do it. So if I say I didn't do it, then that would get them, that would make them happy, and then I'd stay in hell. But I don't want to stay in hell, so I should say that, oh, I don't know.
All snooty down there.
Oh, I need organized religion here.
You make me cream in my jeans.
Uh-huh. Good morning.
Hello, do you believe in UFOs?
Do I believe in UFOs?
Yes.
You mean believe in their integrity?
No, do you believe that they actually exist and visit the Earth?
Well, I believe... Well, okay. All right. Look. How many stars are there?
Billions and billions.
There's billions and billions, right. Now, around these stars, there are planets. And if we take our star as an example, we have at least 9 planets surrounding it. Maybe 10. Now, if, say, 1 in 1,000 of those billions and billions of stars has 10 planets circling it, and we still have billions and billions of planets, you know?
Yes.
And we you know, the universe is unlimited in scope, so we virtually have an unlimited number of possibilities. So I think it's quite likely that there's more than NASA going up there in the sky. I sure hope so, for our sake.
Can I ask you a question, please?
Sure. Yeah, go ahead.
Do you look kind of like Don Imus?
Well, you know, I don't like to bring this up, but
on television,
we you know, we sort of grew up together.
No, that's not true. You look like him.
Well, no, we did grow up together.
No, you didn't.
Well, yes, we did.
Are you lying?
Well, I mean, would you say Don Imus was lying? Look, he and I were both alive at the same time. We both got older at the same time. Do I have to explain any more than that?
Yes, but
do I have to go into my personal life? Do I have to expose myself over the airwaves? I mean, come on. This is the American political system that's supposed to be doing this, not radio.
You look like him. I've seen you on television. Don't
well,
you?
You know, there's reasons why you look like certain kinds of people.
Do you know Jerry Brown's phone number?
Oh, yeah.
Everybody
knows his phone number.
Why don't you call the
There was reports on CNN that people can get around the $100 donations and donate more.
It was interesting. Yeah, there was a report that an operator at Jerry Brown's 800 number had suggested that to get around the $100 limit, that somebody sign up members of their family too, and just contribute in their name. And it was interesting, Jerry Brown's reaction to that. He said it must have been a Clinton spy that did that.
I have a good idea. Why don't we call the phone number?
Well,
right
we called the phone number weeks ago before anybody else was even talking about this.
But we can call it right now and see if we can do that.
What? See if more than one donation can be made.
Yes.
Well, don't you think that after all this publicity, they would be especially careful not to do that?
Well, let's try it.
I don't know if that would really pay off in this particular case. I'll consider it. How's that?
1-800-426-1112.
That's right. 1-800-426-1112.
We the people.
Everybody knows that. Everybody knows that phone number.
We the people. Take back our country.
Okay. Do you want to say it one more time, just for dramatic effect?
1-800-426-1112 and vote Republican for Dan Quayle in 1996.
Well, okay, that makes a lot of sense, putting the two together like that. Thanks for sharing it with us. Good morning.
Well?
Yeah, how you doing?
How you doing tonight?
I'm doing just fine. How are you?
Pretty good. I have a question for you.
Yeah.
Anyone listening, don't laugh, okay?
All right, don't laugh. Don't.
I don't know if this
Wait, there's people in the studio already laughing. Don't laugh. Don't laugh. If you can't keep a straight face, leave the studio.
Can't
leave. That's right. Go out that way and stay there until the call's over. I'm sorry about this. Sometimes people get so immature.
All right.
All right, go ahead. They're gone.
All right, hear me out. It's not really that disgusting. You know, it's pretty clean and whatever.
Okay, I understand.
All right. I don't know if this has happened to anyone. It's kind of hard for me to even say it, too. All right, you go to the bathroom, and you're sitting on the crown, right? You know, you're just sitting there, and the dump comes out of your butt.
Good morning. Hello?
Hello.
Yeah, go ahead.
Oh, okay. I was listening to you talking about the Jerry Brown rally this week on the campus.
Yeah.
And I found it interesting, too. I went there sort of half out of curiosity. And I found it interesting, the excitement of all the people there. And I'm not really sold on Jerry Brown yet. I'm not sure if he really believes in what he's saying. But I found it interesting to hear him talk about that sort of liberal, progressive, left-wing agenda, which you don't hear too often, more in the last few elections, didn't you?
Right. In fact, that's exactly what I was trying to say before, is that... You know, it's real interesting in itself to see this happening, and you just don't see it as much anymore.
I took my two children to the rally because I wanted them to see what the political process looked like, and on the way home I was telling him it sort of reminded me of... campuses, a little bit more lighthearted, of course. But I found it quite interesting. I'm not sure what to make of the Brown phenomenon, but it's going to be fun to watch in the next few weeks.
Right. No, I agree. It's made the political process much more interesting.
I wish Clinton would come to the Stony Brook campus. I think it would be an interesting contrast for people to see and hear him. But have you heard of any other speakers planning to come out?
No. Well, you see, he's not going to come out because the primary is Tuesday, and that's that only leaves Monday, really.
Yeah.
I don't think he's going to think Stony Brook is important enough. But Brown has much more of a rapport with college-type people. I don't know if that's going to do him much good in the primary, but...
I also heard the thing you said that he reminds you sort of a phys ed teacher. He does have that barking coach kind of authoritative, listen to me and I'll tell you, I'll point you the right way kind of voice. He's quite a good speaker.
Uh-huh.
Anyway, thanks for letting me on and good night.
Okay, thanks for calling.
Bye.
632-6901, 632-6500. Good morning.
Yeah, Mike Stanley talking here. I've been getting Frank's phone calls.
The Mike Stanley?
What do you mean, the Mike Stanley?
Oh, okay, you're not the Mike Stanley. Okay, go ahead.
I've been getting prank phone calls all night, right? And I've been going to these people. Why do you keep calling me? They go, they hear the number on 90.1.
They hear the number?
What? You got my number on the air.
What's your number?
My number?
Yeah.
I don't want to say it on the air.
Well, then if you don't want to say it on the air, then you won't get any prank calls. I'm glad we solved that problem. Good morning.
Hello?
Yeah, go ahead.
Let me turn my radio off. I had just, I was reading the Village Voice before listening to you, and I found a little
bit about how Jerry Brown got the Governor Moonbeam name. Mike Royko coined it, and it was something about what you said about the satellite. Brown proposed to build a satellite hookup to connect sometimes geographically distant state agencies and to save on travel costs. And Mike Royko took this plan, and only this plan, and dropped on Brown the infamous moniker. It stuck like super glue. The media made the appellation a symbol of everything Brown did that most politicians don't do, refusing to live in the governor's mansion, riding around in a modest car, waxing Jesuitical from time to time, dating Linda Ronstadt, etc. And last September, Royko was finally so exasperated by this misappropriation that he apologized for ever committing the name to paper. And then there's a quote, "There's nothing strange about him unless you consider it strange to recognize it. Washington is filled with career hustlers who live from one campaign bundle to another. And if that's strange, then the majority of Americans are strange because they believe it and it's true."
You know, I think it's interesting also that that Brown doesn't really have very many friends in Washington, very many people that, you know, that think that will support him, politicians that will support Brown. There aren't very many.
Probably any at all.
Yeah, and I think that's because he's coming from outside of the status quo, which, of course, they always see as a threat.
Mm-hmm.
And anything that's a threat to the status quo has potential, I think.
I think so, too. But, and, I just wanted to say another thing about, we're talking about, like, you're talking about term limitations. It's a kind of an interesting idea, but to me it's kind of undemocratic, too, because it's kind of like a condescending thing to think that, like, people are voting for the fact that people would vote for somebody and, like, choose him, and you would, like, deny their choice by having term limitation. Seems like a little bit, you know, paternal and patronizing to me.
Uh-huh.
So I don't think I would. I see the point that you have, that the dangers of incumbency. The incumbents are so powerful that it's hard to get elected, you know, coming as a challenger. But I still don't think I would go for term limitations.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Anything else?
That's about it.
Okay.
Alrighty.
Well, thanks for calling.
Sure.
632-6901, 632-6500. Matt, you're stopping in for a moment. Are you coming from that bass thing downstairs? For some reason, I walked into this building, and the whole building was shaking with bass. Now, did something finally break, or are they still just, you know, going to resonating frequencies and all?
I don't know. I guess either that or the AV people came up with really good equipment. But
75-inch woofers, I heard.
Yeah, what happened that was very interesting tonight, there was a line of cars trying to come into the campus. On a Saturday night, usually this place is dead. And I see not just crowds of people at the party, but crowds of people in general with books and stuff like that. On a Saturday night, something weird is going on here. This campus is actually coming alive on weekends. I don't know.
Well, no, the reason, it's embarrassing, actually.
Icon.
No, it's our radio signal. Our radio signal is so bad that people have to be on campus to hear us. And, you know, Brain Damage is a popular show, so people naturally want to be in prime listening spots for it.
Yeah, I did notice people wearing a lot of Walkmans.
Yeah, yeah.
So I guess, they're listening to us.
People have to send their pledges in, otherwise our signal will never make it to the places it's supposed to go.
Otherwise, they'll get stranded on the campus forever because they can't hear USB anywhere else.
Right, you have to show your card now to get out. Or is that to get in?
It's show to get in.
Oh, and, people get confused by these
are
things.
People are faking IDs and doing stuff like that just to get in closer to listen to USB signal. Incredible.
It's amazing. They're hurtling over walls and fences and things like that.
Yeah.
Armed commandos coming, storming out the campus just to listen to you know, reggae and blues.
Yeah, with the money they spend on guns, we could get a really nice antenna.
That's right. You send us the guns, we'll sell them, and that way we'll, you know.
Yeah, send them to Gaddafi. I mean, he's got plenty.
Guns for power, guns for signal strength. We'll have a slogan of some sort. 632-6901, 632-6500. Good morning. You're on the air. All right. Good morning. You're on the air.
I'm so horny.
Good morning. You're on the air. We don't want to get in his way.
How's it going?
It's going very good.
I love your show, and I found your stories very interesting last week, at the beginning of last week's show.
Thank you, but I forget what it was. What story was that?
About the devil in Alaska.
Oh, that wasn't my story. That was the Weekly World News. Give them all the credit.
It was very entertaining. You know, I've never heard of those stories anywhere else.
Uh-huh.
Well, the reason I'm calling, I just recently got an interesting job doing telephone surveys. And I was wondering if you were, what do you thought of this? We're doing a survey on trucking.
Ooh.
And the first question is...
That's pretty controversial, isn't it?
Well, the interesting thing about it is the first question is, the first question is, have you or anyone else in your household ever rented a truck for any reason? And if they say no, the next immediate question is, do you or does anyone else in your household have diabetes or sugar diabetes? I don't understand that.
That's the next question?
Yeah.
And this is a trucking survey?
Yeah. And if they say yes to that question, we take down their name and the survey's over.
Wait, you do this?
Uh-huh.
Well, wait, who are you working for?
It's a company called Marketing.
Their name is Marketing. All right, and are they marketing for diabetes or for trucking?
I do not know. Well, the introduction is, we present, you know, my name is so-and-so, working for so-and-so company, and we're doing a survey about truck rentals.
All right, so if the person answers correctly or whatever, what do you do with their name?
Just print it up to the computer, and I do... have no idea what happens to it. I just idea of what this is about.
That's life in the 90s, you know. Our names get into computers, we don't know why or what they're for. So,
people like hang up my face and, you know, because of this question.
Are you one of the people that makes the calls?
Yes, I am.
Well, what kind of reaction do you get when you ask somebody if they've ever rented a truck and then you ask if they have diabetes?
Yes, you know, what the hell does that have to do with trucking and or just hang up my face or...
Uh-huh. Well, now, as long as you've gone to this much trouble, what are the answers people give? Do most people that rent trucks have diabetes?
No. I don't understand. People have offered suggestions such as maybe can't drive a truck or if you have diabetes or... I just don't understand it at all.
I think maybe what happened was they're reading the questions off a computer disk and there was a crash of some sort and two files got merged.
No, because it's been gone for a couple months.
Well, yeah, because nobody's checked it.
Oh, no, they checked it and it's
what the computer says, so it must be right.
Our supervisors they say it's right.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Well, maybe a couple of their files have merged, too.
I don't know.
Well, okay, maybe in weeks to come you'll get a third question and that'll make sense out of all this.
Because what happened is when I first started doing the survey, I first started working there, that question wasn't even in there.
Uh-huh.
And when I was doing the survey a couple weeks later, and all of a sudden,
Let me ask you a question. How long have you had this job?
About a month and a half.
Okay, have you noticed anybody that looks like either Alan Funt or Dom DeLuise hanging around the office?
Let's see. Alan Funt? No, I don't think so. Why?
That's curious. Well, get back to us on this. This is interesting. We'll keep track of this.
I don't think either Alan Funn or Dom DeLuise would have the patience to do it for a month and a half.
Well, that's what you don't know how much time they put into those things.
Yeah,
it's a very can be an aggravating job. It's I don't know. It's a good experience.
Yeah, I mean they could put years into each one of them. They could. I don't know. They're busy people. Thanks for calling.
Yeah, thank you.
All right, that's an interesting story. Good morning.
Good morning.
How you doing?
I just want to let you know there's only three more days till yak shaving day.
Is that so?
Yeah, see, the yak comes and it leaves with shaving scum and...
Uh-huh. Thanks for sharing that with us. That means April 8th. Good morning.
Hello?
Yeah.
Okay, say hi to a few people.
Wait a minute.
A couple.
Technically, you're not supposed to have to 1:30, but I'll let you do it this time, okay?
Okay.
All right, go ahead.
Eric Andreessenowitz, Lou Marano, Steam, Super Wigga P, Juice Skates, Smile Skates, They're Cool, McBoo...
Don't you have this written down?
E.G. Mankelschmidt.
E.G. Mankelschmidt.
Oh, P.O. I met a stinky, old boy.
Are these part of the polka people?
What?
Never mind. Good morning.
Hi.
How you doing?
I like to hide from people.
Okay. You know, you should bang your mouthpiece on the table because it sounds like you got some... Well, never mind. Go ahead.
Maybe on your head.
Maybe.
Fire charging.
Anybody there?
Yeah.
All right, who do you want to say hi to?
Blondie,
okay.
And Zeech.
Okay.
And then Lou.
All right. Anybody else? That's it?
Yeah.
You have anything to say?
Hey, watch for a Stippy show tomorrow.
All right. That's correct. Thank you for calling. Good morning.
Hey, how you doing there?
The guy called before saying that Steve Kay, the guy who does that Turmoil show, said he's not going to do his show anymore. I was listening to the program, and he said, you know, you don't like the music, it's not good music coming out anymore, and people don't call in, and you only get like 8 or 9 or 10 pledges or something, not enough money, and you just wanted like $10 or something. But then I clicked. He does that show on Wednesday, right?
Right.
Wednesday was what date?
What date?
First. I think Steve Fisher's on a big, elaborate April Fool's joke there.
Yeah, that, he's a kidster, that guy.
Yeah. He seems to have, his elbow and our funny bone ribs, you know what I mean? And I was at the university today, they're having some type of science fiction convention.
Uh-huh.
It's a pretty scary looking bunch of people at that thing, let me tell you. There's like a 45-year-old guy, he's about 60 pounds overweight, sitting there, he's drinking a Coke, he's dressed up in a Star Trek uniform, and he's, like, smoking a butt, and this guy, like, hasn't shaved in, like, 3 or 4 days, and these, like, plump, overweight women, well, I have nothing against overweight women, but they're wearing, like, stretch pants and, like, these leather things, looking like they're, like something out of a Hobbit or something, Lord of the Rings, and they think with, like, the big, clunky, gigantic glasses and stuff.
Uh-huh.
I'm walking through, they've got like a dealer's room. They sell stuff. I figure, you know, buy a couple of things. That's what I want, you know. So I'm looking. This woman is selling these, like, I guess they call them fanzines, like homemade magazines that depict the Star Trek characters, mainly Captain Kirk and Mr. Spock. And they're like stories and drawings of them in a homosexual relationship. Now, I got nothing against the homosexuals, but, you know, Captain Kirk and Mr. Spock are some pretty, like, sacred characters, I guess, for the people that are going there. I'm like, well, are these people carrying it a little too far?
Yeah, because Mr. Spock is only sexually active every 7 years.
Yeah, it's also wrong.
These are drawings with graphic depictions of their genitalia, and they're hugging, they're doing acts on in the stories of, like, poems about how they love each other, and...
Well, they do love each other, there's no question
about
that.
And this is in the carnal sense, and pretty graphic descriptions of their relationship, but them, like, kissing and stuff.
Uh-huh.
And I just think that maybe these people should, you know, do something, you know, to go to the movies or something else, you know, read some other type of book besides a Star Trek book, or watching these Star Trek shows.
You never see anybody on Star Trek even make reference to going to the bathroom. How do they do that? Where are the bathrooms? Nobody ever talks about this.
I don't know, you know, they do talk about the captain's log.
Yeah, I know. Thanks for sharing that with us. Good morning.
Speaking.
Hello?
This is Satan.
Oh, not again, Satan. What is this? Your voice changed.
You've been dissing me?
No, I haven't been dissing you. But you like people to talk to you and be rude, right? You're Satan, for God's sake. You want me to fawn over you and be polite? Of course not. Satan respects people who are nasty, right? Right. There. I hung up on him again. How's that? Twice in one night I hung up on Satan. Good morning.
Hi. Matt?
Yes.
Matt,
over there.
I'm over here. I'd like to know who you're going to vote for in 1992.
Are you sure you're going to be able to keep a straight face through this?
Yes.
Okay, try hard, because when he says something, you might explode. Go ahead.
Hello, still there?
Yes, I am.
Okay, the question was, who was I going to vote for in 1992?
Yes.
Myself. You know, the thing is, on the top, of, in the voting booth, on the top, you see those little diagonal doors?
I'll tell you what happened. You 1988, you picked the wrong lever, and you picked out a piece of paper, and you didn't vote for anybody in 1988, right?
My God, this person listens to the show.
Oh, yeah, someone
yeah. Okay, I'm going to do... Next time I do that, I'm going to put my own name on it.
No, I mean, who are you going to vote for in 1992?
In 92?
Yes.
I just said I'm voting for myself.
That's a dumb answer. So.
All right, well, I will not sit here and tolerate having Matt insulted on the air. So, 4 degrees Celsius outside, it's 39 on the Fahrenheit scale.
Hey, if Jerry Brown can make it on the budget that he has, why can't I make it as a write-in?
Yeah, no reason why not. Today, I read the weather already. I'm not going to read it again. What do you think of the weather, Matt? I like the weather. I think the weather is good.
Right now?
Well, I think the weather is good in general. I mean, do you think the weather has been good recently when it was snowing the other day and all of a sudden it was warm and then it was cold? A lot of people get angry with that kind of weather. I don't.
A lot of people get sick with that kind of weather.
Well, that's true, too.
That's why people get angry, because they get sick.
Yeah, well, you know, angry, sick people are an important force in today's society. But I approve. I just want everybody to know that. And I hope there's more. Let's see.
How do you manage to stay healthy? I don't know.
I don't know either. Good morning.
Hey, I just got a latest update. Check this out.
Okay.
When you're talking about Satan, I got like this telegram thing like they have in the military thing, and Satan is going to marry Blondie in Umiat City, or the town of Umiat.
That's the city in Alaska where Satan escaped from.
Right. And the other thing is...
Yeah.
This is fact now. The reason why... you talking about Star Trek and who someone said why they don't go to bathroom? Remember?
Yeah, remember. I'm just trying not to think about it too much.
Well, I'm making a point that's already been made up. the reason for that is because they're never drinking coffee. Think about that.
Not true.
When have you seen them drink coffee?
No.
Star Trek episode, they appear to have a food synthesizer. Gotcha.
Tea, Earl Grey, hot.
Ah, oh, got me, got me.
It's tea, it's not coffee.
Coffee.
We know.
Hey, tea can do it to you also, so...
What did I just say? What did I say? I don't even know what I'm saying.
No, tea can make you go to the bathroom, too.
Yeah, it doesn't make him go to the bathroom. I think that's what he's trying to point out.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
but also they're not drinking anything. But that's... I saw him one... I think they were drinking like a Pepsi or like some like mutant liquid in a can or something. I have no idea.
They have gach.
Yeah, gosh. Yeah, have a gosh and a smile.
No, actually, that's solid. Or is that just worms or something?
I don't know. You know.
I think it's still alive, whatever it is.
I have no... They also all contain... What the other thing is, they all have the same disease, the Dick Clark disease.
Basically. Oh, you mean they never age?
Yeah. Captain Spock, you know, he dies every now and again. And then, you know, they relive him and bring him to another planet. But other than that, they really stay the same age. One of them even looks like he gets younger.
That's
the black lady. I don't know her name.
Michelle Nichols.
Right.
Anyway, that's not a case of Dick Clark syndrome. That's a case of Hollywood toupee maker syndrome.
Yeah.
Yeah, and William Shatner spends about $2,500 on a toupee.
Holy,
and he's got the best rug in Hollywood.
Holy
Burt Reynolds.
It's true, though. It is true.
That's amazing. Oh.
It works, though. I mean, it is a rug, and a lot... Oh, speaking of which, in the New York Times 2 days ago, if you think the New York Times is really stodgy, what they did was there was an advertisement for a hair replacement center, and right above it, there was an advertisement for a rug dealer.
Holy. That's like... I don't know. That tells you something.
It tells you that the layout people have a sense of humor.
Right, or it could be telling you that if you want to get if you have like a big head or something, you can just go to the rug dealer. Probably get it for wholesale.
Yeah, by the square yard, yeah.
Right, exactly.
I mean, hey, there's some really nice broad looms there that could pass for hair very well.
Yeah.
That's right.
All right, well, I'll let the other callers get a chance, and have a good night.
You all right, too. Thanks for calling.
Bye-bye.
632-6901 and 632-6500. Those are our telephone numbers. Good morning. You're on the radio.
Oh, good evening. Oh, good morning.
How you doing?
Oh, fine. Did you happen to read about that giant fungal entity that they found on the Michigan-Wisconsin border a couple of days ago?
No, I didn't hear about this one.
Oh, it's so neat. Scientists have discovered what could be the largest and oldest living organism.
Oh, yeah, I did hear about this, the 30-acre fungus.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was quite interesting.
And you know what was really weird about it is they discovered it while they were doing some kind of studies for the Navy, which I thought was really weird. They were studying tree pathogens for the Navy.
Well, there are all kinds of... weird scientific studies going on outside.
I was just trying to imagine what on earth the Navy.
It's don't lose any sleep over it. That's my advice. Listen, thanks for calling. We've got a special feature coming up in a moment.
Oh, goody.
All right. Now, this happens but twice a year, and what we're going to do is... we're going to hear something.
10 seconds. What will the weather be like tomorrow? Call 1-900-976.
Now, don't listen to that.
Eastern Standard Time, 1:58 and 20 seconds. For a 5-day weather forecast, call 1-900-976-1616. Eastern Standard Time, 1:58 and 30 seconds. For weather in New York and vicinity, call 1-900.
You see, what happens is the time is going to
and 40 seconds
change in less than a minute. That's right, the time is going to suddenly become 2 o'clock again. And when it becomes 2 o'clock... No, actually, I'm sorry. At 2 o'clock, it's going to become 3 o'clock or something like that. It's going to get all screwed up. And that's what's going to happen. So we're going to hopefully get that as the last thing that we do. 632-6901, 632-6500. I don't know what's going on in the other room, but hopefully we'll get through. See if he actually makes a connection there. Okay, looks like we got something. All right, let's see what we have here. See if we made it on time. At 2 o'clock, it should become 3 o'clock. Oh, pick up the phone, please.
Weather call 1-900-976-1616, 99 cents per minute. Eastern Standard Time, 1:59 and 50 seconds. Good morning. The New York temperature is 42 degrees. Eastern Standard Time, 3 o'clock. Exactly.
All right.
Do you need weather information?
No. Get off the phone. Okay, that's our show for tonight, folks. We just skipped ahead an hour. It's now 3 o'clock. And how do we do this? We have to change. I'm trying to change the digital clock here. I guess I'll do it that way. There we go. Now it's 3 o'clock in the morning. We've been off the air for an hour now. And what we're going to do is put on a special CD for you. A lot of people have requested The Clash on Broadway. I think I might have just broken it, so maybe you won't be able to hear it anymore. But assuming I didn't, this is CD number 3, and that's brought to you as a special present from the people here at Brain Damage. Matt's going to be here next week. I won't be here next week, but I'll be back in 2 weeks. So if you can keep all that in your head, you're a better man than me. Make sure you vote in the primary if you can, and if you can't, make sure you get somebody else to. See you next week, or in 2 weeks, or whatever. Good night.
trouble again. Cold water in the face brings you back to this awful place. Knock on merchants and your bankers too. But get up and learn those rules. When the man and the crazy chief, one says sun and one says sea. AM and FM and the PM too. Turning out that boogaloo. Gets you up and it gets you out. But how long can you keep it up? Jimmy Honda, Sonic, so deep and we're falling. Hong Kong dollar, Indian cent, Indian pound, and Eskimo cent. Looking for a ride, better my team. Think my baby's a sophisticated. In the ass, it's a good night. Better work hard, I've seen the price. Never mind that, it's time for the bus. We got to work, and you're one of us. Must go slow in a place of work. Minutes drag and the hours just. Yeah, well, bye-bye. Bye-bye to the boss. It's our profit, it's his luck. But anyway, the lunch bell rings. Take one out to your side. Boy-da. What do we have for entertainment? Cops and gypsies on the pavement. Now the news is back to attention. Even the landing of the Venice Convention. Italian monster, shoots a lobster. Too rich, some kicked out of hand. Car and fridge, a bridge in the car. A cowboy's dude, TV land.
You know what?
Don't
stop, keep it up.
And sweat some more. The sun will sink and we'll get out it all. It's no good for man. The working changes. Hit the town. He brings his wages. You're fresh. You're sweet. But if you notice, you ain't getting stop. You're sweet. But if you notice, not getting anywhere. Don't you ever stop loving up the start. Take your car out of that care. Don't you ever stop loving up the start. Get your car out of that care. Call them up. A virus aid came to the ticket at the 7-Eleven. Mark was quick, but he had faith. And you learn the necessary things. What do we got? Yeah. What do we got? Yeah. What do we got? Magnificent. What do we got? King and the half a dandy went to the park to check on the game. The babe was murdered by the other team. Went off to win 50 mil. You can be good, you can be false. You'll be given the same reward. Socrates, a millhouse, can vote with the same way through the kitchen. Plato, the Greek, or infant kid. Who's more famous to the billion millions? Boom, flash. Vacuum cleaner sucks up fudgy.
Thank you.
Acting secret, secret leader. Have the boys found the leak yet? Whole hill set, wheel in motion. Downfall fixed up, locomotion. Take a government car in the dark to meet a minister. The leader never leaves his door ajar. Swings the wind from the bow of war.
The people must have something good to read on a Sunday.
He wore a leather mask for his dinner guest. Suddenly knew them with deep respect. Proposed a toast to the bulky jet. The feeling of power and the thought of sex.
The people must have something good to read on a Sunday.
Now the girl left the fat man touch her. Bought perfume and the feel of a vulture. Driver waited in the end of the car. Fat man tracked it, set the catcher. The girl left the thin man touch her. 16 question, drunken laughter. Ministry scarf, wait a minute. Minister knows his own affair.
The people must have something good to read on a Sunday.
Oh! up there. You put in our plane in the suite again. Don't you know what happened down there? A youth of 14 got shot down there. A cocaine gun jammed downtown. Killing clowns, a blood money man. Washington monitor again. Every cell in Chile will tell the cries of the tortured men. Remember the name the day before, before the army came. Please remember Victor Jara in the Santiago Stadium. Washington monitor again. And in the Bay of Pigs in 1961, a banner for the Playboy in the Cuban sun. But Castro is the color, is the redder than red. But Washington bullets one Castro dead. But Castro is the color, double the new spray of lead. Moscow bullets hit. Ask him what he thinks of voting for me then. Ask the Dalai Lama and the Hilda Fitbit. How many months did the Chinese get in a war-torn swamp, stop any mercenary. Check the British bullets in his armory.